Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to today's call on the HUI's review team implementation on internationalized registration data. On the call, we have Dennis, Takao, Naoki, Jody, Jim, Samar, and Nishit, and this is Steve. With that, Jim, I'd like to hand over the call to you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Welcome, everyone. Do we have such full attendance as we start off the new year? This is great. Okay, so we have a document that Steve had distributed yesterday. I believe this summarizes the discussion that we've had so far about the elements that we have so far. So I want to just take a couple of minutes to talk about where I think we are and see if I, you know, if we have agreement on that. And then have a proposal and suggestions here for what our next steps are. So we have a list of elements here that we've been working with. We've done some inspection of whether those are the right set of elements or not. So we do kind of have a question here about whether or not we want to look at elements in particular and see if we've covered all elements, or if we want to make a suggestion or advice about what elements constitute registration data or not. But based on the set of elements, we have created some categories for those elements. Excuse me a moment. Sorry about that. Got something in my throat there and had to cough. Okay, so we've created categories of elements. At the time that we were doing it, this seemed like a good thing to do. It allowed us the idea was that we would create requirements based on categories of elements. I believe that the benefit that we derive from this is we may not have to be precise about the list of elements that we're dealing with. We can, by abstracting back one layer, one level, we can focus on categories, and we're more likely to be able to create requirements that are applicable, even given that data elements themselves may change, because ideally they'll always fit into this smaller set of categories and elements. So that's a question that we need to remind ourselves about and ask. So we have, is the list of elements complete? And are we concerned about making sure that we've got an accurate set of elements, given that there are several groups dealing with lists of elements? We have categories for those elements, and we have to ask ourselves, do we have an appropriate list of categories or not? And then in this document that Steve has been collecting for us, we've talked about different requirements for some of these categories. And we have captured that in this document also. So when we started this document and this work, the model that I had was, you know, let's just sort of take a cut across what we need to do and see where that takes us. And then we can take a step back here and look at, okay, what are the next steps? How do we want to approach specifying internationalization requirements for registration data? Okay, so I've given three questions. One is, do we have the right elements? Two, do we have the right categories? You know, I guess I should add a question here. Three, have we captured all of the requirements that we've been discussing to date in here? And then, of course, four would be, what is our next step going to be? As far as where we go with this document. So let me focus on the first three for right now, focus on this document. Anyone want to add any comments at all about the list of elements, the list of categories, or the captured requirements that we've been talking about?
Jim, this is Samar. I'd like to get in the queue.
Samar, please, go ahead.
Okay, just a question, just looking at the document that she just circulated, what's the reason behind separating the registrant from administrative and technical contact names and addresses.
Okay, so you're asking about, oh, that we've separated the contact information, the registrant, administrative, technical. So you're asking about that, but I didn't quite catch the question.
Right. So the question is, can they be the same category, or is there a reason behind separating them?
Oh, okay. So, yes, actually, that is a good question. Thank you for that. You're asking, you know, why have we, can we combine registrant name and organization, administrative contact name and organization, technical name and organization into a single category and put them all together? I would think so. You know, anyone else want to comment? We should have a category called name and organization. So let me ask this question, though, before we move into that. What would you propose is the requirement? Do we want to say anything special about the internationalization requirement? My interpretation, by the way, I should probably add this, and maybe we should put this in the document somewhere, too. But the fact that some of these requirements are blank here, for the ones that are blank, well, I had a question about the address when we get there, but I think for these, our intent was that these are free-form text. We have no special requirements except that there needs to be a single language or script used for the creation of either value. But let me just sort of put that out there and ask you, Sarmad, if you have any suggestions for a requirement that would be the same for all three of those things.
So from what I probably understand is that the name and organization would be in a arbitrary script or language, and the same would apply for administrative contact as well as technical contact name and organization. So I don't see any differences. I can see the registrar's name and organization separated out, because that may have different requirements. But whatever requirements we put on registrar name and registrant name and organization, I think very similar requirements would be posed on administrative contact name and organization and technical contact name and organization. So those three entities I can see having same requirements, whatever those requirements would be. I guess we've not got into that too much yet. So at this time, you know, I'm okay with keeping them separate, but I was just, asking, was there already a motivation to separate them out at this time or not? Maybe I've missed some discussion.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, you're asking if we can bring them together. You're okay with them being apart, but you're asking what others think about those three data elements. Can they be in the same category, or should they be separated?
Say, Jim, this is Jody for the queue.
So, yeah, so for Sarma, did I restate your question in a summary?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, Jody, please go ahead.
I think I'm having a hard time hearing Sarmad, unfortunately, but I think that I agree with him that the admin and the technical contact name and organization, those could be grouped together. And I think Sarmad said this at the end, but will we have a different proposed requirement for the registrant than we would for the admin and the technical? Because I see that we have a different proposed requirement, or we don't have one yet for the administrative and the technical contact address. But for the registrant, we're proposing that is in a script or script of the that's regionalized, I guess. But we don't have that for the admin or the technical contact address. So I think it depends on what we're going to say that the registrant needs to be as far as script language? Will it have a different proposal than the admin in the technical context?
Okay, Jody, let me ask this question. So, Sarmad, you used the phrase arbitrary text when talking about what might be used to provide the name and organization information. Can I ask you to expand on what you meant by arbitrary text? I mean, how far did you want to take arbitrary?
So I guess what I'm saying is that the text is characterized by what we call proper nouns or proper names. And organization, obviously, a mixture of proper names and common names. To some extent, I would also put in the address field in the same category. But in any case, I think at this time it's good to keep the address separate because the address field and the name field may have different accuracy requirements.
Okay. So I understand the idea of using proper names, proper nouns for name and organization. I'm thinking forward a little bit to the idea of how that would be validated, how one would know for sure that that's what you've got. Actually, I think what I was looking for when I asked the question was, I think for the name and organization, I said this before, and I guess I want to test this with all of the folks here, that they would be restricted to a single language or script. Now, in the case of, as Jody was pointing out, in the address area, for the registrant address in particular, we add the additional constraint of a language or script that's regionalized, that's localized for, you know, wherever the address exists. Would we want to say something like that about the name, or would we say something like a name has to appear in just one language or script? They can't mix languages and scripts in there, and otherwise it's just freeform text. I mean, would there be any, can we put any additional constraints on it or not in those three cases? And Jody's asking in particular if there might be constraints on the registrant name and organization, given that we have a constraint on the registrant address. So with all of that, let me ask my question again, Sarmad. When you said arbitrary text, did you have any constraints at all that you wanted to put on that, or did you really mean arbitrary?
I certainly agree that it is going to be a single script and a single language within a script, I guess. I think for proper names, I guess language is not that relevant here in any case. So, for example, many names we use in Pakistan are actually Arabic language names, but they're just names, even though they're, you know, so we don't have Urdu names, but we also have Urdu names, which we use locally, but we also use Persian names and Arabic names. So in a particular culture, script becomes more important than language, as far as names are concerned. And organization names are also like people names, so I think it applies to both of them. So I do agree that we can actually put a restriction on that they must come from a single script. What I'm saying is that there may be also other requirements when you go into the transliteration or translation process as far as names are concerned. And those same requirements may be different from the requirements we will put on, for example, address fields.
Okay, so I am having a little trouble understanding you too, as Jody was saying, but I think what I heard is you're agreeing that a single script is at least an appropriate requirement for the name and organization fields. Is that much correct so far?
Yep.
Okay. And then you're also asking the same question that Jody is asking, I believe, which is, you know, we've made a distinction about the registrant's address as compared to the administrative or technical addresses. And, you know, is there any additional constraint that we would want to put on a registrant name and organization as compared to the administrative and technical name and organization? Is that correct? You're asking that same question, right?
Yes, that's still there. So that needs to be, I guess, we need to, I guess, clarify that a little more.
Okay. And Jody, that's correct. That's the question that you're asking, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I have an additional question, and I'm sorry to be asking so many. I know I've been pretty quiet during most of the meetings. But for the registrant, Sarmad, when you say a single script, you mean a single script of the registrant name, or do you mean a single script that's standardized across all domains? So, for instance, we would have, a registrant name would have to be in a Latin script among all domain registrations. Or are you saying that only a single script can be used within the registrant name? As far as you can't mix scripts.
So yes, I was actually thinking one script that could be for a registrant, one registrant it could be Chinese, for another one it could be Arabic, for another one it could be Syriac. So I'm not talking about one common script, but actually a registrant-specific script. But a registrant shouldn't mix, for example, Chinese and Arabic.
You shouldn't be allowed to mix Chinese and Arabic within the name. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. But
okay.
I'm not saying that everybody has to supply their name in one single script like Latin script.
Okay.
So, Jody, do you have any thoughts about whether there should be a single, you know, global script or whether it's just a single script chosen by the registrant?
Well, I think there's many different ways to look at it, if I can be really diplomatic, I guess, is that I can see pros and cons in both ways. If it is a single script or a common script, I should say, that among all registrars, I think it would be nice to standardize on that, whatever that script is. But, of course, I'm going to ask for it to be in English, and I think that's probably not correct. I guess my feeling is that, and I can change my mind on this pretty easily, I can be convinced, but is to allow the customer to be able to put in both a Latin script and a regional script or a localized script to be able to put in both. But then it comes down to, do you require both or do you require only one? I guess. And I guess I'm leaving that up for discussion among the group. And I think we've kind of danced around this question before. I'm not sure if we came to any conclusions on it. I guess I'm just bringing it up again. I don't mean to, never mind.
No, it's fine, actually. It really is a very interesting question. I want to remind us of two things. That question of whether there should be a common script or not is explicitly a question for the Translation and Transliteration Working Group.
Oh, okay.
And it is supposed to answer that question. And it's a PDP working group, so ideally it will make a decision that will eventually become binding. In addition, the other reminder is from the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group that we had 2 years ago that basically... through a sequence of events has created this working group and the other translation and transliteration working group. It made a recommendation. Included in its recommendations was the comment that a registrant should be permitted to use their own language or script. You know, they should not be obligated to have to use a common script. That, of course, is what motivates the question about translation and transliteration, because now becomes the issue of, well, if you want all the data to be the same or somehow, you know, universally usable, if you will, then that suggests that you might have to do some kind of centralized translation and transliteration, and that brings up the next question of who does that and who has a responsibility. It didn't seem fair. In the IRD working group, we were making comments along the lines of, it doesn't seem fair to force the entire world to have to learn English or whatever common script you want to choose, common language you want to choose, in order to buy a domain name. And that's where the translation and transliteration question comes from.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, James, to ask more questions. So the translation and transliteration group will be dealing with that question then, and that's not part of our work product, I guess.
That's correct. It's not within our scope to answer that question. I don't have any problem talking about, you know, the question and some of the issues that go with it, because certainly it's relevant to what we want to do here. I believe that the answer to that question is important to us, and it's important to, you know, how we want to say what we want to say. So I think that we have to be closely coordinated with where the translation and transliteration group goes. In fact, actually, I'd like to explicitly ask that question of this group. I really do think that the question of whether there is a common script or not, and I suspect we don't care what that script is. This group doesn't care what that script is. But it is, I think, important to know whether there's going to be one or not, because I think it does affect what we're going to say about requirements. Does anyone disagree with that?
Jim, this is Sarmad. I have to get in the queue.
Yes, Sarmad, please go ahead.
So I guess quickly responding to what you just asked, the answer is I think what we propose doesn't necessarily have to require or not require a single script. So, for example, what we could do is we can say that there is this name field and then there is a language tag. And we can say that this name field and language tag can actually be, in a way, represented in multiple times as long as language and script tag are changed. And so that gives us at least the data model, gives flexibility in the data model, and how many times it needs to be filled for how many scripts and for how many languages can then be done through policy.
So I agree with that, Sarmad. I mean, from a technical point of view, it's fairly straightforward to say that if you're going to have multiple languages and scripts present, that you simply have a language tag, a language and script tag for each data element that indicates what it is. And obviously, if you had multi-valued fields, then that's what you would have. The question that I would have, though, in response to that is, who owns the question? Is it this working group or some other working group that exists or is yet to be formed, as to the relationship between those multiple values? I mean, if translation and transliteration occurs, is one considered the definitive value, and all the rest are, you know, optional secondary that may be present? Are they supposed to be checked to make sure that they really do represent each other? What happens if they don't? Then you have to get into all the failure modes. So do you agree that those issues are also questions that have to get answered if you're going to allow multi-valued fields?
Hi, Jim. This is Steve. I'd like to be added to the queue.
Okay, Steve. Thank you. Just waiting for Sarmad to respond.
So I think at this time, I am actually not very sure how much process-related work we should get into. It's not something we can avoid, but I think there are two ways of processing that information, that we actually stipulate some process versus we just take process as input and then work on the data elements. And I think, at least for me, I'm in the second mode where I am actually thinking that the process is being done outside and we're looking at process and then trying to figure out what the data elements should be or stipulate some requirements for data elements. But again, you know, that's just me at this time, and this is going to change as we progress, I guess, in this group and in other groups as well.
Okay, thank you. Steve?
Jim, regarding your question, which group, I think primarily the responsibility will be in the PDP working group to address these questions. We probably don't want, you know, dance around this issue forever, yet another group. So probably the PDP working group needs to come to a conclusion. One thing this group could be helpful is to outline those questions, right? And, you know, we can write it in the report. These are the questions. And also, if the working group have any thoughts, you know, feel free to write it in there. Yes, but that will be it is more of like an input to the other group. So this group can provide advice on this issue, but it's up to the other group to make a decision on this particular issue. So those are my quick thoughts. Thanks.
Right. Thank you. So Sarmad was suggesting that we be careful to separate, you know, our requirements on the data elements from the process that surrounds managing them. And I agree with the distinction. And Steve, you're suggesting that, I believe, so those process questions really belong to the translation and transliteration working group. Any other comments from anyone? So here's my concern about this. I don't know for sure where these process questions need to be answered, and I agree with Sarmad that we don't have to answer them all right now. But at some point, I think that it does matter to this group whether or not there will be multi-value data elements. I think that one of our requirements, our work products, is to choose to propose and recommend a data model, which of course is then subject to further review. We're not a PDP working group, so we just make recommendations. But I think that if we can coordinate this with the Translation and Transliteration Working Group and know, we should put to them the question of whether or not we care about whether or not there's more than one value in a data element, because I think that it's useful, if not important, for us to speak to the issue of whether or not multi-valued data elements are synchronized or not. And especially given the new accuracy requirements on registrars, I think that this is an important issue that is going to need attention. And so, though Steve was saying we should put together questions that we could put in our document as input to the other working group, I'm thinking there's an opportunity here for us to communicate with them now and pass on the fact that, you know, there are certain questions that we do care about, and we want to make sure that, you know, they're in front of that group and they get some time to think about them and perhaps address them sooner rather than later, so that we can keep our two groups, you know, synchronized, as opposed to, you know, working in parallel, coming to a synchronized conclusion. Anyway, I don't know. I hope I made sense there. just to quickly summarize, the point that I was trying to make is that I don't want to just delay not talking about it. We don't have to talk about it now, but I want to keep the questions in front of us, and I do think that we should coordinate with the Translate and Transliteration Group about the fact that we care about these questions, because some of what they do affects the answers to those questions, and I think the answers to those questions affect what we do too. Okay. Bringing this whole discussion back up again, coming back to the question at hand, we have three name and organization data elements, and we have three address data elements. And the question is whether or not those can be combined. In the case of the name and organization, registrar and administrative and technical, let me make a proposal here that we can, you know, people can think about. This doesn't have to be an absolute at the moment. But in the absence of a requirement that distinguishes any one of them, I think the three of those, registrant, administrative, and technical, name and contact, so the name and organization field can be a single category with all three of those in it. And the only proposed requirement is that any individual value must be comprised of a single language or script. For the moment, we have no other restrictions on what language or script is chosen, just that only one can be used when entering any value, so that you don't have a mix of characters in a name. Anyone object to that or want to add more discussion to that suggestion?
Just want to add one more thing, Steve. Jim.
Yes, please. Sarmad, go ahead.
That is that in this particular case, the language and or script should be specified.
I think so. Well, do you mean something different, Sarmad, than my working model here, and maybe we need to state this explicitly in case others don't have the same model, but I believe that when we do actually specify the data model, one of the things that we are going to have to include is that every data element is going to have a language or script tag. Well, any element which, we may actually, there may be some in which we don't do that. I take that back. But any element which could have variable language or script in use is going to be required to have a tag of its language and its script. We may or may not specify a default value, but so did you mean something different than the fact that everything is going to have a language or script, Sarmad?
Okay, sure. Right, so I did realize that there was this default status. So if there is that default status, then that addresses what I was saying.
Okay. Thank you. All right, any other discussion on the name and organization? Then let's jump right to the address and talk about those. So we have a registrant, administrative, and technical contact address. I think that it's fair to say that the entire address, and so, Steve, this is probably a requirement to add to this also, to all three of these, is that the entire address should be a single language or script, should be the same language or script, which could be different than the name and organization one, but what I'm suggesting here is that, you know, you can't have a street or a state or a province and have them be in two different languages or scripts. I think that it would be much more reasonable to suggest that the address components, with the exception of country, which we've already pulled out, whatever language or script is used, they should all be in the same single language or script. And then the only extra requirement is that for the registrant, we're suggesting that the language or script chosen for the registrant should be appropriate for the region in which it's located.
Jim, I have a quick question. When you say
yes, Steve, go ahead.
A single language script, do you include Latin too? So, for example, for a Chinese address, do you allow Latin script?
I think so, because...
So it's the whatever script plus alphanumeric.
Yeah, so let me... Oh, I see what you're saying. Now, this is the discussion we were having before. For example, in Chinese, sometimes you might have, you know, the Arabic numerals.
Yeah, and you can have mixed Latin characters too sometimes. So that's the question I was asking. I think Edmund raised this point.
Yes. Yes, he did. So here's a technical question for the folks on this call, and maybe I'm thinking I'm going to have to go back and ask internally of some of our folks too. But thinking forward a little bit to the data model, exactly how would an address which has mixed script in it be stored and represented? You're not going to have a single language or script tag for the entire element. Does anyone have any answer to that?
Jim, this is Samad.
Samad, please go ahead.
Actually, before I answer that question, I'd like to probably... suggest that we divide this problem into two separate sub-problems. One is that address can have multiple languages, and then another where address can have multiple scripts. And I can, for example, think of where an address actually will have multiple languages within a single script. So, for example, there are many street names in U.S. which are French, for example, or vice versa. So I think that language restriction is probably too tight for addresses, but I think largely the script restriction should work, except for numbers or codes.
Interesting. Interesting. So let me ask another question. The registrant restriction that we have here, that the address has to be appropriate, well, let's see, the language or script has to be appropriate for the region in which the address is located, is there a reason why that restriction couldn't also apply to the technical and administrative contact? So wrapping these two things together, what I heard you say, Sarmad, is that to separate the problem into a script plus Latin script, so some chosen script and Latin script versus just multiple scripts that might be in use, you were observing that it's common for there to be, especially Latin numerals, if you will, included in other scripts. But also, like in the U.S., for example, it's common to have, say, street names that are French. I imagine that might be popular in New Orleans, just to make something up. I don't actually even know that, but I would guess. So it wouldn't be possible to have a language restriction, but you could have a script restriction or some kind of limit in specifying an address. And then I'm wondering if that limit could be contained by the region.
How do you define the region?
Yeah, how do you define the region? That's a really good question, too. We would have to say something about that. We would have to define that. See, I'm thinking, just thinking out loud a little bit, the region for me would be defined by the city, you know, state or province.
Yeah, but what if that region have multiple languages? Like in the case of India, right?
I think that's okay. I mean, at least currently in my working model, and feel free to disagree with me here, but I think that's okay. If I'm selling names in a particular region, then presumably, or maybe we're going to make as a requirement here, I need to know what languages or scripts are reasonable for that particular region, that city and province or state, and any registrant that uses any one of them is okay.
Right, but then what if I'm a registrar of one language? Am I obligated to provide, to accept information in all those languages?
So I think your question is, if I'm a registrar, am I obligated to provide information in all of those languages?
Well, the question is, why am I obligated?
Oh, why are you obligated? Well, let me take it back to the are you obligated, because I don't think you are. At least my suggestion would be that, you know, that's a market question, okay? A registrar, they might be, you know, from one country, and so they really only conduct their business in the language of their particular home country, but they are trying to sell in another country. And it's entirely up to that registrar whether or not they convert all of their information to a language or script appropriate for the region they're selling. If they don't, they may not sell too many names. If they do, they'll probably sell more. But I don't think we have to obligate them. The only obligation I'm suggesting here, and again, folks should feel free to suggest something different or challenge this, is that if you're going to sell in a region, you have to allow a registrant to use whatever language or script is accepted in that region, is recognized as that region's language or script. So it's about the input.
Jim, this is Dennis for the queue.
Please, Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to ask a opposite question. Given that our country can have different languages and addresses, even names, so why do we want to limit to one single language or to couple or three scripts in it? In an address or a name, why can't the requirement be use the convention, the country convention, to write addresses and names? How are we going, if we put a requirement and to limit the language, how are we going to enforce it? How are we going to verify? Do we want, is it because we want the address to be accurate and verifiable? Why is that we want to limit how many languages you can use into inputting those values? I think it's an open question for everybody in the group.
Yes, please. I can tell you what I'm thinking, but I'd like to hear others respond to the question. Anyone have an answer for why we should restrict the language or script at all?
Say, this is Jody. I guess I have a comment, and it's not an answer to the question, but I believe what we're looking for is accurate information. It is what ICANN is looking for, and us as registrars also, is that that the address that's entered by the customer or the registrant or the admin or the technical, whatever is entered in there is an actual address where we could actually reach that person. For instance, if we have a WHOIS complaint or et cetera, that we could actually reach out to this person to get that. Because
right.
To me, it's to me, it seems like it should be regionalized, and it should be in however that person is contacted, however a piece of mail or however something could be delivered to this person, you know, that's what that address language should be. It's a difficult question.
Yeah, Jolie, and you bring up a good point. Because there are two different things, I guess, when you're saying one thing is to be accurate and one thing is to be verifiable, right? Accurate, I read it as what I'm entering in the address, I can read it, and it's an actual word. I don't think you as a registrar will be asked to verify that address is correct. Like, for example, Amazon.com does. I don't know if they tap into the code system and the postal system and they verify the address actually exists. I don't think you do that as a registrar.
No, we don't. No. We don't verify that address in that way. No.
Right. So it just, I guess, we just leave it as it has to be accurate. And that's my question. Why do we want to limit... Oh, this is, has to be in, I'm entering the language in, let it be French, but I'm not actually, and I don't expect the, Jody to go far and check that the address that I'm entering is actual French, or, you know. So that's my question. To what end do we want to limit a language or script?
So my response is it really is about data accuracy and validation. Those requirements are coming to bear on registrars. And so you need some way to you can't have a completely free-form, open-ended input stream, which is essentially the system that we have today. So you need to do something to improve the likelihood or probability that you're going to be able to do some kind of verification, some kind of validation. My thinking, and you know, I could be wrong about this, but you know, you want a given region of the world is going to have a common language or script, or at least a set of common languages or scripts. And postal addresses are going to be represented in those languages or scripts. And so by suggesting that anybody who enters their address needs to enter it in a form that's at least regionalized, it seems to me that that increases the probability that you're going to be able to do some kind of verification and perhaps some kind of validation on it in an automated way. But you know, if we don't agree with that, then we can go back to just leaving it free form. But I think we need to say something other than free form, and this feels like the right thing. Anyway, that's my comment, Dennis.
Appreciate it. I would like to hear from other registrars, maybe Naoki from the Japanese experience.
Oh, please put me in the queue. This is Takao.
Takao, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to mention, you know, I think I've talked about this before, but the when we say script, I just want to make sure, you know, we agree on the term, because when you say Japanese script, that is one thing, but when you say Japanese script, that can potentially include hiragana script, katakana script, Chinese script, and then Latin script. And so if you say that that is a script, you know, definition, you know, I think it's okay for like a Japanese address or Japanese corporation name and such. But if you say that the script means hiragana or katakana or Chinese or Latin, we may have a problem in like, Japanese is one case, you know, that can be mixed.
So we're going to have to be careful how we expand on this and how we explain it.
Right.
It still feels like we believe for the moment that it's okay to say that the language or script for the address, it has to be something appropriate for the region. When we get to expanding that into a full descriptive text about what we mean by that, we're just going to have to be careful. That's what I hear you saying,
yes,
to Cal,
that's
right?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. We're within a couple of minutes of the top of the hour here. I want to try at least one thing. Do we have consensus on the idea that this restriction that we have on a registrant, simply that the language or script has to be appropriate for the region, whatever is used in the registrant's address, is there any reason why that wouldn't apply also to the administrative and the technical contact addresses? Couldn't we combine all three of those? And I don't mean to suggest that the registrant and technical administrative contact has to be in the same region. Those could each be in a different region, which means they could each themselves be in a different set of languages or scripts. But it seems like a reasonable restriction that, you know, the address should be represented appropriate for wherever it's located.
Jim, this is Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
This is Samad. I'd like to get in the queue.
Okay, Samad. And I think these will be the last two comments here for today. So, Steve, go ahead.
The language or script of an address should be appropriate for the region it is located. It seems to me that this requirement is kind of vague. So if we articulate in this way, I would recommend we think about, you know, some examples, you know, when it's appropriate and when it is not appropriate, so that, you know, readers can get a better sense of what is appropriate and what is not. So that's a suggestion.
So I agree with that, Steve. We should certainly include examples as we're trying to expand on what that means. So, Sarmat, please, go ahead.
Yes, I was actually thinking that the administrative and technical contact is possibly not be co-located as far as the restaurant is concerned. But these are possible services which can be sublet to other people. And especially, for example, in the case of proxy and privacy contexts. So that restriction may not hold at all times.
So if I understand what you were saying, Samad, you are concerned about proxy and privacy services, and therefore the restriction about the inputting of the address may not apply in those cases. Is that correct?
No, what I'm suggesting is that the language and script of registrant may be different from language and script of administrative contact and language and script of technical contact.
Yes, right. The language or script used for the registrant might be different than the language or script used for the technical and also different from the language or script used in the administrative. Yes, the restriction is that the language or script that's used for that address should be appropriate for the region in which that address is located, and that each address might be in a different region, and that would be okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I think if no one has any objections, I'm not hearing any objections to combining those three as we combine the three up above. So, Steve, if we could update this document in that way. And then I'm suggesting for next week we'll just continue our discussion on this particular topic and continue going through these elements. Again, just trying to abstract our requirements out as we prepare for fleshing out our document and providing a work product here and then moving towards looking at the data model. Any other business from anyone? Okay, Steve, then over to you to end our call.
Thank you. The action item I have is to collapse the first table of the addresses into one, registrant, administrative, and technical into one. Similar for the registrant name, administrative, and technical name and organization. The one thing for the group is in this current table there are some tags in red. So those are discussion points and proposed requirements that needs to be further, rectified or verified by the working group. So if you get a chance to review those and provide comments, those will be very helpful. We will resume next week. To wrap up the requirement for this, and that's it. Did I miss anything?
Sounds good for now.
Okay, thank you. Operator, could you stop the recording?